Naz Campanella has a decade-long career at the ABC, starting as a cadet in Sydney before moving to the regions and back again for a long stint reading the news on Triple J. Earlier this year, she took on the role of disability affairs reporter at the ABC. Naz, welcome to Life Matters.
Thank you for having me, Hilary.
It's a pleasure. And Elle Gibbs is Director of Media and Communications with People with Disability Australia. Elle, great to have you back on the show.
Good morning, Hilary.
Naz Campanella, how are we going generally in Australia when it comes to representation of people with disabilities in the media, both in the workforce and how people are portrayed?
Well, the figures of underemployment are really high still and have been for a long time. And with representation in the media, I think we're slowly getting better, but it's taking a very long time. And it's really great that we have some fabulous voices out there now, but for a long time there were none.
And Elle Gibbs, you trained and worked in the media too, but you had some very disheartening advice early on. Tell us about that.
Sure. Yeah, I trained as a journalist a long time ago, and I was told really clearly that I would never be able to get work as a journalist because I have a disability. So I was told that I couldn't work part-time, and because of the way that I looked, I would never go into the media, which was incredibly disheartening to hear as a young person who was extremely passionate about telling the stories of people with disability, but also telling other kinds of stories as well. So I went in a very different direction, into the community sector and into communications. So I guess I still do tell stories these days, just in a slightly different way.
And how common do you think that experience is that you had, Elle, not just in the media but in other jobs as well?
Look, I do think it is far too common. People with disability talk about this really often, having assumptions made about what we are capable of, not having the flexible accommodations that potentially that we need to do our jobs. So to do my job now, I work from home, I work part-time, and both of these are pretty rare, particularly in senior jobs. So I'd like to see, you know, far more of these kind of accommodations widely available to people with disability, but also for us to think more creatively around how we tell stories. I think Naz is a fantastic example of being creative and being able to tell stories when possibly people didn't think that we could. And there are lots of different ways to tell stories about disability by different people with disabilities. So I think that it is really important that people are flexible and open-minded.
And Naz, when we talk about the range of stories that are being told, what are we missing out on if we aren't hearing from people with disability themselves?
Well, that's the key thing you're missing out on. You're not hearing from the people themselves. For too long, stories have been told about people with a disability, as you mentioned. And I think, you know, it is because of that lack of representation. You know, it's similarly to Elle when I was at uni, when I was thinking about being a journalist, when I walked into interviews, you know, I had a really difficult time finding work because people would say things like, you know, how can you be a journalist when you can't see? And, you know, I chose never to disclose my disability in a CV or in a job application, because for me, it wasn't necessary. It wasn't relevant. And you'd walk into a job interview and almost feel this strange, almost like hostility in the room and real confusion about why you were there. And you know, it can be quite depressing, and it can make you feel like you are in the wrong place. You know, if you're told something many times over, you start to almost believe it. And it's really hard to sort of pull yourself out of that. But I think what has been amazing is that I've had brilliant technology at my fingertips, a very supportive workplace here at the ABC, and I've been able to do so many stories from courts to sport, right through to regional reporting, and now finally disability. And I think some of the things that I'm really enjoying bringing to the public are those, I guess, things that they might have thought, you know, inequality in perhaps education, but they're hearing these issues now from a perspective that they haven't necessarily heard before.
Well, I'm glad
that's what's really important.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that the ABC's been a supportive workplace, but you helped kind of bring us along, didn't you, Naz, because you helped develop disability awareness training. What do you think the biggest problems were in talking to people? Was it ignorance or a kind of resistance to having people with disabilities in the workplace?
I don't think anyone is ever malicious. I like to think they're not, but lots of occasions, even not just in the workplace, but, you know, when you're walking down the street, people will say things to me like, oh, you know, I'm really sorry you're blind. They'll want to pray for me. They'll want to, they can't believe that I dress nicely or that I work. They, you know, see a ring on the left-hand side of my, you know, my left finger and it's, oh, wow, you're married. And it's so strange to them that this person who has a disability lives quite an ordinary life, you know, does the same things as everybody else does. And so I just started to feel like there was this real shift that we needed to have people out there in the media not only talking about issues with disability, but, you know, I would love to see more people with disability being included in stories because they happen to be a lawyer talking about whatever it might be that has nothing related to disability. And so I basically pitched this idea of an editorial guidance note, and it was really around knowing that the Disability Royal Commission was going to start in 2019 and wanting to make sure that the portrayal, you know, changed from this kind of narrative that pitied us to sort of a more empowering approach. And so I pitched the idea and got together a group of people within the ABC who have lived experience of disability, and together we created a guidance note. And it was really around setting a benchmark and standard for best practice for journalists here at the ABC, but also that I hope will be wider, used on a more wide scale across the Australian media landscape.
We're talking with Naz Campanella, Disability Affairs Reporter at the ABC, and Elle Gibbs, Director of Media and Communications with People with Disability Australia. Naz, what kind of representation was there of people with a disability for you when you were growing up? Do you remember hearing about many people who were in the public eye?
I distinctly remember, like, the Paralympics and, you know, all the incredible athletes. But apart from that, I don't remember much at all. I mean, you know, there was obviously musicians, but that's it. And I guess early on, I didn't have sort of someone, you know, local that I could sort of look up to, or not until I was sort of in high school when, you know, advocacy groups made a real concerted effort to bring people together in youth camps on school holidays and things like that. So yeah, it was pretty limited.
Let's hear from Fiona. She lives in Sydney. She works for a major supermarket chain. And here are some of her thoughts on this issue.
I don't think people with an intellectual disability are portrayed enough in the media. But when we are, they rarely show what we're capable of doing. We do a lot, but it's not reported. The media doesn't cover it. Instead, they don't think we're able to do a lot of things. We work, we socialise. Our personalities do shine, but they don't want to cover that.
Elle Gibbs, what effect does it have on people when they can see someone with lived experience of disability up there on the screen or on the airwaves telling stories? What response have you heard about Naz's taking up this new role, for example?
Look, it's had an amazing response, and lovely to hear from Fiona there, because I think that having people with disability telling our own stories is incredibly important. As Naz said, often, far too often, people speak for us, and particularly for people with intellectual disability. And so Naz has really been able to not only forefront people with disability telling our own stories, but a really wide variety of people with disability who don't often get to have their say. So I think for the healthcare hearings of the Disability Royal Commission, for example, that Naz covered, people with intellectual disability were able to lead the storytelling as they should have, as they were at the commission hearings. So I think that certainly people with disability, when I say to them, would you like to talk to Naz, they get very excited.
Well, and let's hear a little bit more from Fiona, because she talks very powerfully about the effects that invisibility and that silence can have.
The media decides that we're not capable of using our voice. Instead, they go to the our advocate, our guardian. They want to look for a they want to fast track instead of chatting to us. They prefer to chat to somebody else. When people with a disability don't have a voice, it makes us feel like we're not wanted, like people don't want to hear what we have to say.
Naz Campanella, you specialise in disability affairs reporting. Why did you want to take up this particular role at this particular time?
It really was around the Disability Royal Commission and wanting to ensure that people with disability had their voice heard and that, as Elle said, that they could lead the storytelling. You know, I think often I hear of, you know, oh, we can't interview that person for a radio interview because they're deaf and how would we do that? Well, there's a way around it. You just need to think creatively. You need to take the time to build, you know, the relationship and organise, for example, an Auslan interpreter. And I think, you know, that can too often be, you know, people's, I guess, limited concepts of disability and understanding of what, you know, disability is and how broad it is can be their barrier to allowing our community to have their say. You know, there are people who communicate differently to the way that you, I, or Elle communicate, but that doesn't mean they don't have a voice. It doesn't mean they don't have something incredibly valuable to share with our community. And so it was really around that. But, you know, I've been a journalist for almost 10 years, but I've also been an advocate for much longer than that. And so I guess it was really you know, bringing those two worlds together.
I was thinking too about reporting around the pandemic. Naz, is there anything that stood out for you about how people with disabilities have been treated and their experience has been treated during this time? Because there was a lot of really disturbing reporting coming out early on about potential triage situations, especially in the UK, and how that might affect people with disabilities. What did you notice?
Look, really early on, some of the things that we were hearing was that this is only a virus that will be fatal for the elderly because they're the most vulnerable and everyone else should calm down and it'll be fine. Well, I know a lot of young people with disability who have lots of comorbidities, who were terrified of what would happen to them, were worried about what would happen with support workers being able to come in and out. Was there enough protective equipment for them to use when they were there? And remember, a lot of support workers go to multiple people. So, you know, it's about being careful about what they're bringing into your home. But also that whole rhetoric around it won't affect you because you're young and, you know, unless you're old, it doesn't matter. Some people living with a disability said to me, I feel like I almost don't matter because, you know, I'm young and I should be fine. And, you know, that stuff was pretty disheartening to hear in the first place, in the first instance for those people.
Yeah, I saw a truly disturbing report just yesterday, and I apologise for any distress this might cause to people listening, but it was that some doctors in the UK have been unlawfully putting do not resuscitate notes on the clinical notes of people with some disabilities, particularly intellectual disabilities, without consulting them or their families or guardians. So I'm wondering, Naz, if you could talk about how strong the link is between how people are represented in the media across the years and the societal attitudes that could be generated around them.
Well, let's face it, if you don't see people with a disability on your TV screens, if you don't hear from them, if you don't read what they have to say in the newspaper or magazines, you don't see them included in stories that aren't even related to disability. You know, you might have a land rights issue and a lawyer might just be there talking about land rights, but they might also have a disability and it's got nothing to do with the story. Well, if you don't see or hear from those people, you almost start to think that they perhaps don't exist and that they couldn't possibly be a lawyer or a teacher or any of those high-profile roles. And Of course that has a detrimental impact on the way society sees, thinks about, and talks about people with a disability.
Elle Gibbs, what are some of the uses of language and the reporting that you've seen that's raised a little red flag for you as being problematic?
Yeah, I think a lot of the time we're still in the mode of what's called the medical model of disability, where it focuses very much on what's wrong with us, you know, so what are the details of our impairments, what's seen as in the medical model as our deficits, what's wrong with us. And often the reporting really focuses on those kind of things. So it will be really descriptive about all of the different ways that we are different, all of the different things that we can't do, that kind of stuff. Whereas I'd like us to start to move to the social model of disability when we're talking about the barriers that we face, so that the barriers that we face are about what's in society. So it's about the stairs, it's about attitudes, it's about discrimination, rather than what's wrong with us as individual people with disability. I think the recent cases of violence and abuse that have been in the media against people with disability have really focused on the individual nature of people's impairments. And in some cases, it's been pretty awful. Like, I have read some shockingly bad reporting around some of these cases of violence that have been fairly exploitative and incredibly unhelpful. Like, I just, so I think we still have a lot of work to do. But I do think that in terms of language around disability, we've got a helpful language guide on our website that talks about some of the ableist terms that that people with disability prefer you not to use. And the kinds of terms that people with disability do prefer you to use, and the way that we would like the media to report about us and to talk about us as people. And as Naz says, you know, to include us in non-disability stories. There are lots of people with disability who do lots of things that are nothing to do with disability. So I think that it's important that, you know, people with disability are present across the board far more than they are now.
I think one of the important things, sorry to jump in here, but
go for it,
is also to realise that lots of people are so uncomfortable talking about disability. And part of, I guess, I see my role is trying to change that. It's about how you frame your questions. It's about how you talk. If you do it in a way that is respectful, that comes from a place of wanting to learn, then we know that you're sometimes going to get it wrong, and it's okay, but just at least have a think before you say something, or don't automatically just think that you see someone using a wheelchair or a communication device, or meet someone with an intellectual disability and that they're unhappy and having a terrible life.
Yep.
Because exactly. You know, they're not. Yeah.
I know that we're running out of time, and I wish we could talk for longer about this with you guys, because it's a really important discussion and a really interesting one. But I want to thank you both so much for joining us on Life Matters today.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, heaps.
Thank you. Naz Campanella, Disability Affairs Reporter at the ABC, and Elle Gibbs, Director of Media and Communications with People with Disability Australia. And as Elle mentioned, there's a handy language guide on their website if you want to learn some more, People with Disability Australia.